might have had something good by there. But I was saying, you know, maybe Pitt's archives has something if Western University's archives ended up at the university. But
maybe. Yeah. I mean, they certainly keep plenty of records.
Yeah. Anything else that you wanted to share? Sorry, we lost you for some reason.
That's okay. Something else my family didn't know, that my mother and her siblings were very young, so like the 1930s, they knew their dad went out somewhere on a regular basis, but they didn't, their parents didn't talk. My grandmother and grandfather didn't say anything. And so again, after my uncle passed away, they went through the papers, discovered he was taking engineering classes at Carnegie Tech.
Wow.
It's like, what? Looking through the census, there are very different censuses that have been released over the years. Like, during the same time, he hired himself as a house painter. Like, because he was in World War One, he got a military pension. But if he got a regular job, he'd lose that pension. He could never get it back, even if he became unemployed again. So he could only do odd jobs. So it's like, all these different things he did, but nothing was ever said.
Yeah.
You mean my mother said, yeah, my parents didn't say anything.
It was a time, I think adults were often really quiet in sharing that kind of information, a lot less so than now. And you find the documentation posthumously, which it's both sad but also fascinating to learn. Thank you.
It is. It's like all that paper was like a gold mine. It's like, oh, cool. We didn't know this.
Yeah, I actually, you know, now that you mention it, there's a box of things I have after my dad passed away. And I started to read letters that he wrote to his parents that were in his possession. And there were letters he wrote from college to his parents, and they were fascinating. I could only read a few, and I had to put them aside, but it was like, I'm on the college newspaper. The editor says I have a metropolitan style. It's like, just the way he expressed himself was very different. But his printing was exactly the printing I remembered from him as a dad, these block capital letters. So it was kind of neat.
It reminds me of the story that Bob Gale, one of the creators of Back to the Future, said, like, he's going through his parents' stuff one time and he discovers his dad used to be like the president in high school. And like, I didn't know that. And he came, and that was like the origin of this fantastic movie trilogy.
Wow. That's incredible. Rich in Edinburgh just wrote, there was never a sad time when I could go fishing with my father. And that's a nice way of putting it, to be able to spend time doing that and knowing that you'd always enjoy it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I do have to run. Patrick, thanks for sharing with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me call.
You bet. It's good to, you knocked a few memories loose in me too. Broadcasting live, as if there were any other way, from historic Allegheny Square, where Youth Express is underway now. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio.
We are living neath the Great Big Dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming. side. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side. I am alone and I am searching, hungering for answers in my time. I am balanced at the brink of wisdom. I'm impatient to receive a sign. My crime in humility, I will listen. We're all swimming to the other side. On this journey through thoughts and feelings, binding intuition, my head, my heart, I am gathering the tools together. I'm preparing to do my part.
Near and the group known as Emma's Revolution at the Saturday Light Brigade. In just a moment, you are going to get a chance to meet four people who are all part of an ambassadors group from South Hills Children's Theater, and they're going to talk a bit about what they're up to this summer, or what they're going to be up to this summer, including the season they have planned. And we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of the dramatic arts and acting, and everybody who ends up supporting activities such as these, and that will be coming up in just a moment.
The Northside Chronicle joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The Northside Chronicle is a nonprofit community newspaper available in print, digital, and mobile formats that provides coverage of the people, places, and events in the 18 Northside neighborhoods of Pittsburgh. Details on the Northside Chronicle, including the June Summer Guide, is available at thenorthsidechronicle.com.
A quick note, we would love to meet you. You're welcome and invited to our free open house Thursday, June 24th, 4 to 6 p.m. We'll be celebrating the work of over 100 SLB-trained Remake Learning Days youth ambassadors from across Pennsylvania. You'll have a chance to tour the Youth Media Center. You can look at the studios, Ricky and I are sitting in right now. You can join in our celebration. We have great food and beverages and a great time, 4 to 6 o'clock, June 24th. You can get the details and RSVP at tinyurl.com/RLD Ambassadors 2025. tinyurl.com/RLD Ambassadors 2025. We hope we'll get a chance to see you at that event. Today we have ambassadors from South Park Children's Theater, and you can learn more at southparktheater.com. And I think first we'll just have you introduce yourself. Please let us know where you go to school, the grade you'll be going into, and if you have any shout-outs, this is the perfect time to do it. Rosemary, we're going to start with you.
All right. Hi, guys. My name is Rosemary Becker. I am the president of the South Park Ambassadors. I have been working with the program for 6 years. I am a rising senior at Baldwin High School, and I would like to shout out Emily and Lorraine, who both help run the program.
Hi, my name is Eliza Sturbel, and I am a rising sophomore at Bethel Park High School, and I've been involved in South Park Theater since fall of 2022, and I like to shout out my parents and my grandparents for watching me today.
Hi, I'm Magnolia Cavanero, and I'm also a rising sophomore at Bethel Park High School. I've been doing South Park Theater since 2021, and I'd like to shout out all of South Park Theater for helping me be where I am today.
All right. Hello. My name is Lily Baumgartner. I am a rising sophomore at Baldwin High School, and I've been doing South Park Theater since my summer of sixth grade. I really love it there, and I would love to shout out my parents for always supporting me.
Well, it's wonderful to meet, or in a couple of cases, see you again here. And I'm curious, what do ambassadors do? What is your role for South Park Theater?
All right. So with the ambassador program, it basically means that we help plan events for both the main stage, which is the adult theater, and the children's theater. It means that we help plan events. We're going to the Baldwin Community Day later today. Some of us help with the Instagram page. We do Instagram takeovers for opening nights of the children's theater shows. Plus, we volunteer for a bunch of the both main stage and children's theater shows, too.
Anybody want to add to that at all?
We also get out and advertise about our season and try to promote the theater and try to promote, good positivity in the theater.
And it's hard these days not to be positive, but to connect with people because there's a lot of noise that you need to break through. How do you make sure that information about your productions have the maximum chance of actually getting to people?
I think social media is one of the best ways to do that. Also, word of mouth is great. I talk to all of my friends. I post it on my social medias, and I know we all do too. And I think getting young people involved is having their friends doing it. So if your friends are there, they're going to come, and then more people are going to come. And it's the best thing about our generation is that if one person knows about it, 20 other people do too. So I think that's one of the best ways. And then stuff like this, where people are listening and hearing about all the great things that South Park does for people and how much joy it brings for the kids and, people of all ages. So I think that's great. That's something great about it.
Now, what you can't see, I've made a number of references this morning to things that I see that you can't see is the crew here are all wearing the same shirts. Look great. SPT ambassadors, South Park Theater ambassadors. Would I be right in assuming that you're ambassadors for the adult programs as well as the youth programs?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think that's important to note because you can help bring new audiences to the adult programs by reaching younger people. Do you know what the upcoming shows the adults are doing? I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yes, we have a How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying show coming up. There are so many wonderful adult actors running that show and being in that show, and I'm personally very excited for it. I know that we will all be, some of us will be ushering, some of us will be helping with ticket sales and everything, so that's a very exciting adult show that's coming up.
That's a great musical.
Yeah.
That will be a lot of fun. Where are those shows presented?
They're presented on the indoor main stage mostly, but also we're also doing some shows that are like seated readings in the parking lot, and those are Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche and August Osage County. And we're also doing A Midsummer Night's Dream on the outdoor stage.
And where is the stage located or the building it's in?
So it's directly in South Park, which is one of the best things about it. So it's, they're kind of two separate areas. So the outdoor stage is where most of the children's shows and some of the adult shows are held, like Eliza said. And then the indoor stage, it's a bit smaller, but it's a really nice, intimate theater. And it's
so it's part of the school there or part of the community?
It's a community thing.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you look, that's how you find it in mm-hmm. South Park. A community south of the city of Pittsburgh in the suburbs. Excellent. Well, let's talk about your plays coming up. They're all your plays, but the children's season is going to be opening in a couple days, I think. Talk about what's going to be happening.
Okay. So our first show of the season is King Midas, and that's a very exciting show. I think it's about how this king, he's very into gold and glittering things, but he's learning about the true meaning of, like, relationships mm-hmm. and love during that. And most of these shows that we do, they are for children, but they have these really gorgeous meanings behind them, and they're funny and they're silly. And one of my favorite parts about it is that we see all of these kids and they just come and their faces just light up and their parents are so happy to bring them. And I think inspiring a new generation of theater lovers and theater goers is one of the best things for us because I think art can just make people feel very happy.
And are these presented by adult actors or
children actors?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. So they're presenting to other kids, it mm-hmm. sounds like. So that's King Midas and the Palace of Gold. What comes next?
Next is Princess King, and that's the story of a princess who's in love with a cook, but her father won't let her marry him. So she dresses up as a prince to compete in a competition to prove to her father that she's worthy of the crown.
Ah, these stories actually age very well. Ah, a lot of these, you know, we still have a lot of classism and a lot of thinking about the Midas principle. Now, what's after that?
Elves and the Shoemaker. It's July 14th through the 23rd. And it's about Lockhart Cobblestone, the shoemaker, has a kind heart but little money in his pocket. Moved by the plight of an old beggar woman, he gives her his last pair of shoes. Poor Lockhart has enough leather to make only one pair of shoes and sets it out to work on the next morning. Then the fun begins. Out pop weird and daring little elves, Mortz, Schwartz, Hazel, Grit, see Studebaker, who whips up the most fantastic and magical shoes up in the town of Clankbottom has ever seen. It's an upbeat, fast-paced retelling of an old favorite filled with delightfully wacky characters and clever dialogue. And it really shows a gentle message about the nature of kindness.
That sounds like another great one. And there's still two more to come. Now, the next one is one I think a lot of people know, but it's Little Mermaid, the Little Mermaid. What will happen in that play?
Okay, so the Little Mermaid, not to be confused with the Disney Little Mermaid.
Yes, I was going to say, I didn't see the D word in there.
Yeah,
copyright.
One of our directors who has been working with the children's theater forever, her name's Sandy Hallett. She's very dear to me. I love her. She wrote this script and has been working through production of it for years at this point. And she is excited to put it on for the first time with us.
That's fantastic. So you all are you all acting in a lot of these?
Yes. Our stage managers are running the camps. Like, there are so many opportunities to get involved here, and we just really think it's a beautiful community. But we're all very proud of Sandy. We're very good. We're
very proud. That's great. So you get a chance to act in these plays or be key behind the scenes, play key behind the scenes roles. And then during the school year, it sounds like you get involved in marketing the adult plays and maybe acting in those plays if there's an age-appropriate role, I would think. So then the last one is another one we have to eliminate any Disney association. what's that play?
So it is called Cinderella, Cinderella, and like everything else, it is not your usual story of Cinderella. Basically, in this story, Cinderella isn't actually beautiful. It's her stepsisters that are the beautiful ones. And throughout the story, she's kind of just finding herself and realizing that she is beautiful, even though everyone never has told her that. So she's just going through life as a young woman and finding who she is and what she believes and possibly finding love during that. So I think it's a really great show for any young girls or boys that are just trying to find themselves.
So this whole series of shows starts on June 16th and ends up running through August 20th.
Yeah.
So basically all summer long. And if you go to southparktheater.com, you'll be able to find information on the exact dates. Or you had mentioned your Instagram is a good way to do that too.
Yes.
And what is that?
So I think it's essentially just search up South Park Theater and you will find it. And that is one of the best ways to figure out about all of our shows, all of our events, where we're going to be, what we're doing. Our wonderful social media manager, Miss Lorraine, she's great. She always keeps up with it. And then you will also see many of our takeovers of the shows before the children theater shows and the adult shows. And those are just so much fun to watch and be excited about. So, yeah, definitely go check out the South Park Theater Instagram.
Excellent. Now, I've got a few other questions for you. The first is there anything else you want to mention about what we've been talking about, the specifics of the summer program or the theater productions that will follow this coming fall?
Okay, so one of the promotion pieces that we're doing are the stamp cards / punch cards. They will be available every day at the gate during King Midas. And if you go to one show of every single show in our children's theater summer season, you will get a stamp. It is a special stamp that one of our ambassadors made. It is in the shape of our symbol, a green leaf. If you get all five pictures of the shows stamped by the end of the season, you get a little goodie bag.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So that's an inducement for people to go and see the show at least one time each. And it's good that you have a specialized stamp so nobody can, I'll say it, cheat. But that's a great way to do things. Anything else?
We also have a fall season, and our shows for the fall season this year are Dr. Experimenter and the League of Evil, and Jingle Bell Jukebox the Musical. So if you're interested in auditioning, check out our website and our social media pages. And auditions will be sometime in August.
And these are also for the children?
Yeah, yeah. This is 6 to 18-year-olds can all audition.
Excellent.
Yeah. I also wanted to say that every Tuesday evening, the South Park Theater Ambassadors will be having glitter tattoos. So we'll be doing glitter tattoos for the kids and stuff.
Interesting. I'm picturing a bunch of glue put on your arm, healthy glue, followed by your arm being dipped in glitter or something like that. Am I right?
Yeah.
But they're like little designs and stuff, and I think the kids really like them, so... Mm-hmm. Who doesn't like to have some glitter on your arm?
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't? Anything else? There's a couple other things I want to ask you, but I just want to be sure we mention everything.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I'm curious, in our remaining moments, what difference does being involved with South Park Theater bring to you? And I don't want to put words in your mouth in terms of how to express it, but I'm kind of wondering, like, if it weren't for South Park Theater, I'd be this, or maybe because of South Park Theater, I am that. But just, I think it's important that people know how organizations make a difference in people's lives, because it's not always so obvious to other people. And please, there's no need to overthink it, too. I'm just curious what you think. And I know people listening will, too.
Well, I think we'll all give our own individual thoughts on it. But for me, it has helped me just, like, find myself, find friends that are interested in the same things that I am. It has given me something to look forward to during the summer. And it's just, theater brings such joy to my face and just joy to my soul. I think it's one of the best things that we have, and I think the community and the program really, really helps kids just find themselves and enjoy their summer more. So
that was Lily, and do you want to go next, Eliza?
I'm
sorry. yes, that's Magnolia. I'm sorry, that's okay. My notes that I'm reading backwards.
Okay.
Sorry.
So South Park Theater has really, really made a difference in my life. I feel like I've never really found an activity that truly was for me until I came to South Park Theater, and I discovered how much I love acting. It's really, really just such an amazing place. And I think one thing that's really special is that for the children's theater shows, we got to walk through the audience and like talk to the kids before we went up on stage, and it just felt so much more immersive, and I just loved seeing the kids happy, and I loved performing, and I feel like I really found the activity for me.
So well put. Thank you. Now we go to Eliza.
Yep. South Park Theater has had a great impact on my life in the fact that, like, it sparked my interest in acting and also being a role model to all those little kids at the theater. It's really special to see, like, them get interested in, like, theater, and it's just amazing.
And Rosemary.
So, the South Park Theater, I started whenever I was in eighth grade, which was a very hard transition for me, because I went to a little tiny charter school, and then I got switched to a giant public school with 400-plus kids. So it was a very awkward time in my life, where I didn't really have a whole lot of people that I could stay connected with. But the theater showed me that I could have people who I knew, people who I was comfortable with, who didn't go to school with me.
What a great observation, and what great observations from all of you. One more question, and Rosemary is probably closer to an answer, but I'm going to start with Lily again. Any idea of what you might like to do once you're out of high school?
Well, for college, I definitely want to still pursue acting as, like, a minor, but I'm going to be an attorney, so.
Excellent. Yeah. Do you know any attorneys?
Many, yeah.
Do you know a specialty you might want to practice in?
I love some good environmental law. I like some good criminal and political justice law, so maybe something in that.
Excellent. And now, let's ask Magnolia the same question.
Well, I'm not entirely sure on what I want to do after high school. I know I want to do something in science, but I also definitely know that I want to keep involved in the arts, like writing or helping out at local theaters.
It's early to answer that question,
yeah.
too. Are you taking, you probably have chemistry this year, I'm thinking.
Yes.
But did something turn you on about science, maybe earth sciences or?
Well, in middle school, I was in enrichment, and we did a lot of, like, astronomy and, like, paleontology stuff in those classes, and I was just really interested in that. So I think I've kind of narrowed it down to those two topics.
Yeah, I hope you'll hold on to that if they continue to fascinate you. What about you, Eliza?
I want to double major in musical theater and education.
And that's not that I'm endorsing them. Point Park has a program that's brand new that allows that to be done.
Yeah.
That's a great plan. And I'm thinking, Rosemary, because everybody you just heard were rising 10th graders, and Rosemary is about to become a senior. So, Rosemary, as the elder, might have plans that are a little more concrete.
Yeah, I want to go to school, hopefully in the area, as a theater tech.
Ah, excellent. And for those that might want to know, I immediately think of set building, but it's well beyond set building. Can you explain what a theater tech could be doing?
Theater tech could do anything from designing sets to setting lights to programming lights to just writing down blocking.
Yeah, there's so much to do in that area. Well, it's Rosemary, Eliza, Magnolia, Lily. Thank you for being here today, all representing and quite well, I might add, South Park Theater. Learn more at southparktheater.com or look for their page on Instagram. Thank you for being here. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Secret of my heart. Grew up with kiss could be political fodder, the life of a protester starting, the life of a protester starting.
That is Stephanie Fagan. And that is from an album called Ideas for Your Ear Bone. And the song is Protester's Daughter. Our Youth Express Hour continues. And then at the top of the hour, right after the top of the hour, we've got Tom Hoffman, Dave McLaughlin, and William Cohen with some old-time tunes. Oh, I just got their set list. You're going to like what you're going to hear. A lot of their selections. Several of them are ones you'll recognize. In just a moment, you're going to meet Giselle Silva. She is 14 and will be in ninth grade. She also has been honored for her writing by Scholastic. And we'll talk a bit about her writing. She'll share some of it with us. And we'll talk a bit about other aspects of what it's like to be where she is right now here at the Saturday Light Brigade.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from Spatial Audio Solutions, providing configurable audio playback and streaming software solutions to radio stations, webcasters, and businesses around the world since 1998. Additional information is available at spatialaudio.com. That's SPACIAL audio.com.
I would like to invite you to an SLB open house. Pretend it's a printed invitation. And you see, save the date. And it says June 24th, Tuesday, 4 to 6 p.m. And then it says what? And it says a celebration of the work of our SLB-trained Remake Learning Days youth ambassadors, high school students who covered Remake Learning Days as it unfolded during the past summer. Where is it? Our Youth Media Center. Why? Well, you'll get a chance to see our Youth Media Center as well as to check out the studios I'm speaking to you from now. Ricky and I will both be here as well as other members of our staff, and it's free. June 24th, Tuesday, 4 to 6 o'clock, and you can get more information and RSVP at tinyurl.com/RLD, as in Remake Learning Days, RLD Ambassadors 2025. tinyurl.com/RLD Ambassadors 2025. We'd love to see you. It's an open house. You don't have to stay for the entire time. There'll be food and a chance for us to show you the place that you helped to build, whether it be through a donation or simply through your enthusiasm for the work that we do. That's all happening June 24th. Well, it's my pleasure now to introduce you to Giselle Silva. Hello.
Hi.
How are you? Thank you for being here with us today. Tell me a little bit about yourself, what you like to do.
I'm just Ellie. Hi. I like to write, read. I participate in theater sometimes. I saw the earlier people come in. And yeah, that's what I like to do in my free time.
Tell me a bit about your practice of writing, or how often you write, or how you approach it.
Yeah. I write pretty often. Anytime I'm feeling some sort of strong emotions, just to get it out. I've also been writing a book in my free time, and I do it when I have a creative outburst, so sometimes I want to write more than I do at other times.
So it sort of comes in spurts every now and then. It's interesting because some people seem to be very even with that output, and I'm the same way. I'll either have a real need to express a lot, or I might be like, I got nothing. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
And you mentioned theater on the stage or behind the scenes?
On the stage, yeah. I just recently performed in Act One at Wexford, and we were doing Shrek the Musical, and I was the cast Shrek, so I was really happy doing that.
Oh, that's great. Anybody you'd like to acknowledge or say hello to? Mm-hmm.
I would like to say hello to, first, my parents. I know my dad's out in the lobby over there. I would also like to acknowledge, if any of my friends are listening to this, I would like to say hi to you guys. And, yeah, anyone who's listening to this that I know, I just want to say hi.
Great. I know you can't see your dad, Jose, I believe. Yeah.
Jose.
Or Jose. He waved when you when you acknowledged him, so I'll assure you that he heard you. So, you wrote a piece called Our Hiding Place that placed in the recent Scholastic Honors. Have you entered that before?
No. So this is my first time entering. My teacher introduced us to it when he introduced the project to us, which was to write a horror story, a flash fiction. And he said that if we were proud of our pieces, we could submit them into Scholastic. So this is my first time actually being aware of Scholastic.
So many questions I have for you. First, for the uninitiated, what is flash fiction?
So flash fiction is basically short stories, like under 1,000 words, I think. That's what it is. Yeah. So it's just like a short story.
And what it's not, because I think I'm right about this. I used to think it was you only get so much time and you're done. That's not true. It's you only get so many words, right?
Yeah, it's only so many words for that is what I think.
So, yeah, I'm because I had somebody explain that to me. I thought it was like flash, you got to be done in a flash and you're done. As I think about it, in some ways that seems silly, but trying to write something, that had to be a real challenge to get it down. Does it have to be exactly so many words or just below a threshold?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely difficult for me to write under the threshold because there was so much I wanted to say, but I had to keep under the word count. So after a while, I actually wrote over the word count and I just cut out the pieces where I didn't think it was necessary or I didn't think it actually added anything to the story.
That's a good strategy. I think it's probably one that'll stick with you too. I know, you know, I'll write an email to people and I still need to write like formal emails with sentences. And and after I'm done, I always read them and it's remarkable. I can usually cut them in half as I'm doing that. So you entered. What was it like to win? To be told that you were selected?
I was very shocked. I remember that day. I kept like refreshing my email to see if I got something or refreshing the page. And when I saw that I got an award, I was very, very proud of myself. And I showed all my parents immediately, and I was really, really happy.
That's amazing. I don't know, sometimes you're somebody I know because you're a writer who and a human being, you know, who feels emotions. And sometimes you think, can anything like still blow me away or surprise me? Or, you know, is there something I haven't felt yet? And what a great thing to have happen. And I'm sure your English teacher was really proud of you, too.
Yeah, he was really proud of everyone who submitted. He said this was actually like the most people who submitted in a year, and he was proud of every single one of us. He gave us all a shout out. And I actually got an email from one of my past teachers congratulating me for that. So I was really happy with that.
That's great. And speaking of shout outs, what's this teacher's name, the current English teacher?
His name is Mr. Shaw. He teaches 8th grade advanced literacy. He was one of my favorite teachers this year, definitely. He was very nice, and anytime I was having struggles with any creative writing pieces, I would send them over to him, and he would give me a bunch of advice.
That's great. Well, if you would like to, I'd love to hear what you wrote. It's called Our Hiding Place, and we've had music in the background, but I'm going to let it go because I want your words to be the star here. Yeah. And I'll let you go with it however you'd like to.
Yeah. Would you like me to read the entire piece or like an excerpt? Or
so in 1,000 words, it's not very long, is it?
Yeah.
So we've got time if you'd like to share it.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, sure. Okay. As a child, there is one thing I knew most. I loved my mama. Every day, just like clockwork, my mom would wait for me at the door. "Welcome home, Theodore," she'd say to me, and I'd scurry over to her as fast as I could. "Mama," I would say, jumping into her arms, "I miss you." She would hug me as tight as she could, her arms wrapping around me like a warm blanket. "I missed you too, Theodore." She would let me go and take my hand gently. "Come, I made your favorite food, black bean soup." And it was like that every single day, until Papa came back. The day he came back was like no other. I was on the couch, listening to the rain patter down on the roof, when the door opened. The dark, cold figure of Papa stepped in, towering over me like a midnight shadow in the streetlight. I remembered freezing right then and there. Then Mama saw him. Her face went grim, and the look on her face was the most scared I've ever seen her. Father didn't even look at me. He stared at Mama with a look of pure hatred. I stepped away from the couch and scurried over to the stairs, running as fast as I could. "He can't hurt me. Papa can't hurt me. Not again. Papa can't. Papa can't." And then the screams came. Loud yelling came from downstairs. I covered my ears, but it didn't stop. I screamed to try and drown it out, but it didn't end the screams. Then Mama started being different. It started small at first, but patches of purple began to appear on her arms and legs. When I pointed it out, she covered it quickly. "Nothing for you to think about, Theo," she would say. Then her face started to drain of color. Her bright, bouncy curls turned almost dull, and her flushed cheeks became pale. If I could describe it, she looked like she was from one of those old movies in pale black and white. Her smile lacked the warmness I used to see. When she tried to tuck me into bed, she gave me her best smile, but for some reason, it never reached her eyes. And one day, she was gone. When I woke up, she wasn't there. When I came home from school, Mama wasn't there. She never came home. Papa was out of the house at work, and Mama never came home. I made dinner by myself, and Mama never came home. I did my homework by myself, and Mama never came home. I waited and waited outside the door, watching the rain, and Mama never came home. At some point, I decided to take it into my own hands. I went outside in my raincoat, searching in the rain for her. "Mama," I yelled. "Mama." Nothing. I kept yelling again and again. My face was wet with rainwater and tears streaming down. "Mama, Mama, where are you?" I don't remember how long I stayed out there before the neighbors heard. All I know was that after a bit, I saw red and blue lights at my front door. A tall police guy asked me a bunch of questions, but I could barely answer three of them before I broke out into tears again. And Mama never came home. Weeks passed and Mama never came home. The house was cold, unloving, no trace of Mama, not a house, just a home. Was I being punished? Did I not deserve parents? I had no other family, so the police decided to give me a new Mama and Papa. They called themselves my foster parents, like they knew they could not replace Mama. But finally, one single moment ended it all. I had been at the creek near my foster home, only a bit away from my actual home. It was dark out, the stars bright in the sky, and the air calm, warm. I jumped from stone to stone in the creek as my foster parents stayed nearby. "Don't go too far," they yelled. I never listened. I kept jumping over and over through the depths of the creek. The murky water went to my shoes now, but I didn't care. I kept jumping until I couldn't see my foster parents anymore. After a few minutes, I finally sat to take a break, my body tired. I looked around at the scenery and saw a small rocky hill nearby. And that's when I saw it. A long, blonde curl peeking out from between the rocks. My blood ran cold. I ran towards the rocky hill and looked at the curl closer. "Mama?" My voice was shaky, almost unbelieving. I pulled at the rocks that blocked the curl, pushing and pushing until my fingers bled out. But it was enough. I saw the face. A pale face with a cold, unblinking eyes and a gray stare. Her face was not as flushed as it used to be, and her expression was not the same, but I knew who it was. I remember pushing back the rocks and running back to my foster parents, hyperventilating at the sight I just saw. Mama was hiding from Papa. Papa can't know where she is, and I found her. Nobody can find her. From that moment on, I didn't say a word about my mama anymore. Not when I started searching for my mama with the police. Not when my foster parents asked about her. Not even when I grew up. Every so often, I visited Mama at the rock. It was our secret, our hiding place, where Papa could never find either of us, where Mama would never leave me, and nobody ever found her.
Wow. That was amazing. To hear it, first of all, the first-person approach as you're telling the story just really makes it riveting. Plus, I can tell you're into acting. You really, writers don't always deliver their story as well as they write it. But just incredibly riveting and hard to predict. And it sure meets the criteria that you were given of, a true horror story. I don't even know what to ask you. Part of me, how did the idea come to you to do it like this?
So, basically, when my teacher gave us the assignment, he said that we had to pick from 5 questions. And there were multiple different ones, but the one that stood out to me is, are real-life horror stories scarier than fiction horror stories? So I started delving into more realistic ones, and that's when I read The Lake by Ray Bradbury. And it's, for people who don't know, it's about this kid who, I think he finds his childhood lover's, body in, the lake, and he didn't actually realize that she was dead until he came back. So I got inspired by that, and I wanted to tell the story of childhood grief because my teacher was telling us about how some people don't have, their parents with them during Thanksgiving. So I wanted to tell the story of a child having to go through that painful experience of not seeing their parents anymore.
Yeah, the beginning, or pretty much the first two-thirds of the story, looking, maybe not that much, but looking for Mama. It was really interesting the way you did it. Now, you mentioned you're writing a book. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
So, basically, the book is about 10 people who are stranded in the middle of nowhere, and there's no signs of human society around them, and they're trying to find a way out, and they discover they're not actually in a human based Earth, and that someone actually created the universe. So I was thinking of an idea of writers create universes with everything they do. So I was thinking, what if the writer actually met their characters? What would actually happen?
Oh, what a great idea. So the author is going to interact with the characters.
Yeah.
It sounds like it. That sounds great. Is there anything else you'd like to say about our hiding place or about the world of writing from your perspective?
From my perspective, it is definitely, like I said before, it's an outlet for me to put any emotions or any ideas I want on paper, because sometimes I can't really voice the things I feel or the things I see. So it's very great for me to be able to put that out there. And I do one day I wish to be an author one day, to actually tell these stories to the bigger groups of people. And yeah,
so to go and read your works. I was also curious to now, Gisele Silva, who you're hearing now, is about to enter ninth grade and is 14. So it's early to ask you this, but do you know what you might want to do once you're through with high school?
Mm-hmm. I was planning on going to a college to study creative writing, definitely majoring in creative writing, and I'm going to do a minor in psychology in order to help me with writing those pieces, definitely. I do want to become an author one day, so that is my biggest goal in life.
The other thing I was curious about, Gisele, is if, and this is kind of an odd question, but I hope it'll resonate with you. A lot of people listening now across many different radio stations. If there was something or a couple of things that you wish people in general understood about what you experience at the age you are that they don't understand, does anything come to mind? And again, I don't want to put you on the spot, but is there something, you know, I work with a lot of teens and it's always interesting, this question, like, I wish that adults would just take a minute and understand this.
Yeah. I think the main thing is that kids also have emotions. Like, a lot of times in my life, many adults have told me, you're just a kid, you don't really understand this. And the main thing to understand is kids do go through a lot of hardships. Like, even as children, we still experience a lot of mental traumas and mental disabilities that will... It'll be harder for an adult to understand because they'll just think that we're growing and it's just something that us as kids are doing because it's like hormones and stuff. But really, the main thing I want them to understand is we also have emotions too, and we also go through things.
Thank you. What a thoughtful and also very impactful answer. I appreciate your being with us, Gisele, and I hope we'll see you again, maybe to share some more writing. Gisele Silva, her piece is called Our Hiding Place, and thanks to Scholastic for helping to connect us.
It all started one Saturday morning when I was a kid. I was messing about doing whatever it was that I did. When my daddy said, son, I got a job to do, and I can't do it by myself. So if you'll meet me in the front yard, I sure could use your help. Well, daddy had two shovels, and he said, we're gonna dig us a hole.
Dig a hole.
And then we drove to the store, and daddy said, we're gonna buy us a pole.
I'd like to buy a pole, please.
Oh, people, I might have been a little bit slow, cause I couldn't figure what it meant. Until we stuck that pole in the hole.
Get it?
We took that old American flag and we hung her up high with a rope and a knot and a lot of American pride. Then we sat back and waited for the breeze to come so we could watch her colors fly. We took that old American flag and we hung her up high. Soon my mother and my brothers and my sister, they all came out.
About.
Oh, we kept old glory flying all day long and took it down when it got dark. And bright and early next morning, me and daddy was in the front yard.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
And guess why we took that old American flag and we hung her up high. With a rope and a knot and a lot of American pride. Then we sat back and waited for the breeze to come so we could watch her colors fly. We took that old American flag and we hung her up high. Well, the years have gone and have long since moved away.
Moved away.
But I've been thinking I'm about
and my daddy waving at me.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
He still takes that old American flag and he hangs her up high. With a little itty bitty bit of rope and a whole lot of pride. Then he stands back waiting for the breeze to come so he can watch her colors fly. He takes that old American flag and he hangs her up high. Woo! We took that old American flag and we hung her up high.
That's Billy Kelly. I kept, as that song played, I was thinking, Lucy in Disguise. It kind of had that feel to it, didn't it? That's Billy Kelly, and it's actually a song from our collection of songs called That Old American Flag, its name. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Bird.